Praise God. The Bible said he went to a horrible pit, found you and I wallowing in miry clay, but God reached way below the bottom and grabbed us up and took us out of there. And I thank God that he did this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would. Let's go to the book of Genesis this morning. Genesis chapter 46. I want to take a look at the 46th chapter. Still continuing on the life of Joseph as we look at the importance of a steadfast faith. Genesis chapter 46, while you're turning there, a couple of announcements we'll make tonight, or now anyway. Ladies' meeting will be on Tuesday night, I understand, at 7 o'clock. So those of you who'd like to meet, I encourage you to do so in the fellowship hall at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. And also don't forget service tonight at 6 o'clock and choir practice at 5. Choir practice at 5 and service at 6 o'clock tonight. So encourage you to come out for that as well. If you found your place in the Word of God, we'd ask you to stand. We're not going to read the entire chapter. We're going to skip a lot of it in our reading this morning. But we'll pick up a little bit on what we don't read this morning. Genesis chapter 46, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And they took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him. And his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters, and all his seed brought he with him into Egypt." Now, if you would, let's go on down to verse number 27. The Bible says in verse 27, "And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were two souls. And all the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh and say unto him, My brethren and my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks and their herds and all that they have. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you and shall say, What is your occupation? That ye shall say, Thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth even unto now, both we and also our fathers, that ye may dwell in the land of Goshen. For every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians." Let's pray. Gracious Father, I thank you, Lord, today that, God, you've allowed us one more opportunity to be in church. God, that you've allowed us the opportunity once again to read your scriptures publicly. God, I do pray, Father, that you might bless, Lord, the reading of your word. God, I thank you for those that are here today, Lord. God, I thank you for those you brought back, Father, from off vacation and traveling and in other places. God, I thank you for that. Thank you, God, for these that you brought, Lord, that had been sick, God, and you've brought them back, Lord, well this morning. God, I thank you for our visitors that have come today. God, I pray that you would bless them, God, in abundance for being here. Now, God, I pray as we preach today, Lord, I pray, God, that as the devil will try to hinder thunder, God, and disturb, God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would move in, God, and keep ourselves focused on your word, and God, on what your spirit would say unto us today. God, I pray if there's someone here today, and God, in a crowd of this size, Lord, that there is a good possibility, Lord, Father, a distinct possibility, Lord, that someone is here today that doesn't know Jesus as Savior. And God, I pray that you might speak to their heart. God, I pray that you'd let them see grace, God, and mercy, Lord, that Father, that motivated you to send your Son to reach down way below the bottom for me that day. God, also for them here this day. Now, God, I pray that you'd move. God, I pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, that you'd save them. If there's someone here today that's backslidden, God, or their heart has gotten cold, God, I pray once again, draw them to Calvary, Lord, I pray. If there's someone here today, Lord, just needs a touch, God, just needs encouragement, Lord. Father, needs revival of their soul. God, I pray, let that be the case today. I thank you, God, for these that are here. Use me, God. I pray, Lord, there's something, God, in my life that would hinder the preaching today. God, remove it. Father, I pray, Lord, as I repent of it and seek your forgiveness. God, I pray, hide me behind the cross and let this crowd see Jesus. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it all. Lord, it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. In the Bible, there are recorded great and precious promises of a grand reunion for the child of God when he or she reaches the end of this road of life. In the passage before us today, Joseph has sent his brothers back to Canaan to get their father and their families. Now, they've all been invited to move to Egypt where they can be fed and protected by Joseph. The sons of Jacob have returned from Egypt with incredible news. Jacob, however, is having a hard time comprehending what he's hearing. His sons have concrete evidence that what they're saying is true. They have a bunch of empty wagons, the Bible teaches us. They have 10 donkeys that are carrying the best of the land of Egypt. And they tell him all about their lies. They tell him all about the cover-up. They tell him how Joseph had worked with them until they had made a full confession. They tell him about Joseph and the glory that he has received down in Egypt. And Jacob learns that his son that he thought was a dead man is really governor over all the land of Egypt. And folks, it's more than what Jacob can grasp at one time. And surely at this point, Jacob is more confused than ever as he hears of the tale of the story of his son. Now, he might have been angry with those boys for coming in and telling him how they had lied to him and telling him how that because of their lie and their cover-up that he had to suffer all the pain of grief those 22 years. But on the other hand, hope is beginning to take root in the heart of Jacob. Now, like Jacob, we that are born again have also the truth in our hearts that God's Son is alive. And we also know that those who die in Christ actually never die, but they live forever with God. We also know that the way by which we enter into that life is that we too must die. However, the thought of death is the most frightening thought that you and I will ever face. Christians want to go to heaven, but many have a great fear of what it takes to actually get there. Well, Jacob wanted nothing more than to have a grand reunion with his son. But he also had a great fear of what it was going to take in order for this to happen. However, Jacob overcame the fear and the glorious reunion finally occurred. Church, can I just tell you something today? That fear can keep you from heaven. It sure can. Fear can also keep you from the blessings of God in this life. But I want you to know today that you, just like Jacob, can overcome fear. You can overcome the fear of death, and you can overcome the fear of what it takes to get through this life. And as we look in our text this morning, I want to preach on a little simple message entitled, The Grand Reunion. And I want you to look this morning at what Jacob had to deal with, and I want you to take a look and see our lives in this scripture today, because just as what Jacob dealt with, as he was going to have a reunion with Joseph, he was going to have to deal with these things if that reunion was ever going to happen, then you and I need to understand if we're ever going to have a great reunion day with Christ, and if we're ever going to have a great homecoming day with those who've gone on that we've loved so much, then we too also must deal with these things in our lives as well. The first thing that we got to understand is that we are leaving all binding fear behind. Aren't you glad today we're going to leave all fear behind? Fear will bind the child of God. Fear will keep you from being what God wants you to be. Fear will keep you from doing things that God has asked you to do. Fear will keep you from taking a step of faith and going the extra mile. And fear will keep you from trusting Jesus and being saved. You know, a lot of folks, the reason that they're not saved is they're scared to death of what they'll have to leave behind. They're scared to death of what they'll have to give up. They're scared to death of all these things. But in order for you and I to ever reach heaven, we've got to leave fear behind. We've got to get rid of the thing that binds our soul. And I want you to look this morning about this very thing. Here's how Jacob left behind the fear that kept him captive. The first thing, he did it with a revived spirit of dedication. Folks, it's hard to be afraid when you're totally sold out to God. It's hard to be afraid of what you'll have to leave behind when you realize all the good things that God has for you. It's hard to be afraid of taking that step of faith when you know that God is there with you and know that He's going to hold your hand and walk you all the way through. Let me tell you something. Jacob had a revived spirit of dedication. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The Bible says in verse number 1 that Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba. Now, I want to tell you something right here. As you go back and you look at the chapter we just preached on last week when we looked at our wagons for God, you see that the command for Joseph to give to those sons of Jacob, to take back to Jacob, was that Jacob was to get up then, bring all of his family, come down to Egypt, and regard not your stuff, he said. But what did Jacob do? Jacob went, got everything that he had, and he drags it down to Egypt with him. You know what that's telling me? Jacob is still afraid. Jacob's afraid to let go. Can I ask you something today? What are you afraid to let go of? What are you afraid to get rid of to come to Jesus? What's holding you down that you won't get rid of, knowing that the greatest thing you'll ever receive and the very one thing you need is right there, but you won't give it up because you won't let go? Why is that? What do you have that's keeping you from Christ? What do you have that's keeping you from a relationship with a holy God? What's keeping you from being born again? What's keeping you from living a holy life this morning? Let me tell you something. Jacob drug everything that he had down to Egypt. But let me tell you, before he ever got to Egypt, he stopped along the way. And he went to a place called Beersheba. Now, Beersheba is at the southern point of the land of Canaan. And it's the last place you go to before you leave the land of Canaan. It's the last place that you go to before you go out of God's promised area and you enter into the land of the world. And folks, let me tell you something. Jacob stopped right there. He stopped at the land of Beersheba. You say, preacher, but why did he stop in Beersheba? It was because in Beersheba was where Abraham committed to offer his son Isaac. It was in Beersheba where Isaac dug again the wells of Abraham after the Philistines had filled them back up. It was in Beersheba where Jacob had received the blessing of Isaac when he covered his arms full of the hair and told his daddy that he was Esau. It was there where God had been blessing his family. And he said, you know what? If I'm going to leave this fear behind, I've got to get back to the place where I've once been blessed. Can I tell you, you might be afraid of something here today, but you want to know how to eliminate that fear? Get back to the place where God once blessed you. Go back to the place where it was so good to serve God. Go back to the place where it was at that you got saved. Go back to the place where you used to could praise and honor and glorify God. But now you're so bound up by the things of this world. Can I tell you something today? Get up and get back to that place. Because if you hang out where you're at, you'll never receive God's best for your life. But folks, he had a revived spirit of dedication. And he left the fear behind when he rendered sacrifices of worship. When he rendered sacrifices of worship, the Bible said he came down to Beersheba and he said, you know what? This is the place where Grandpa was blessed at. This is the place where Dad was blessed at. And this is also the place where I've been blessed. This is where I got the birthright from. And you know what? He said, I'm going to stop right here where I'm at. If God never gives me another thing, even if this grand reunion with Joseph never happens, even if I don't ever make it back out of Egypt alive, he said, God's been so good to me, I just got to stop right here in Beersheba and give him praise and offer him a sacrifice. Hey, wait a minute, tell you something. Has God been good to you? Well, preacher, I got up this morning and this happened and that happened and you don't know what I got to face this week. And oh, it's bad down at the schoolhouse. And oh, it's awful down there at work. And oh, the family's a mess and all these. Let me tell you something right now. Why, just look back for just a moment and throw that stuff aside and go back and start looking at what God has brought you through and where God has taken you from and say, you know what? It may be bad right now. I might have to get out and go to Egypt for a while, but aren't you glad God has been good to you? Hey, and he offered God worship. Can I tell you, church, best way to get out of a mess, as Brother Frank said, I believe it's the first day of revival, or he said it last year, actually last year's camp meeting. He said, you know what the best way to get out of trouble? Simply praise your way out. Can I tell you right now, you want to get out of problems in this life? Begin to praise your way out of problems. Don't begin to moan and groan in your problems and sit down and let the devil defeat you. That's fear talking right there. That's fear that's going to bind you up and keep you in the problems. But let me tell you something, fear couples always unbelief. But when you begin to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, then you can begin to praise, and God will inhabit your praise, and God will move to open doors, and he will deliver you from that. He did also. He left the binding fear behind when he received a soothing reminder. In verse number 2, the Bible said, God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And in verse number 3, God reminds him of something. He said, I am God. Well, God, what are you going to do for me? Now, you're not listening. I am God. But God, I meant you don't understand. I am God. See, folks, it doesn't matter what your problem is when you get in your spirit that he is God. Let me say that again so that way the rest of you understand it. It doesn't matter what your problem is right now when you get in your spirit that he is God. He still sits on the throne. He is still all powerful. He is still all knowing. He is still omnipresent. He still sits on the circle of the earth and sees it all from pole to pole. And let me tell you something, your problem sits somewhere in that circle. But I want you to know he is still God. And he sits back and he's worried about going to Egypt. And he's worried about leaving everything behind. And he's worried about all this stuff. And God just comes on the scene, Brother Elton. And you know what? He never even says, I know you're worried, son, but that's what he's implying. He just comes to him and he says, hey, I'm God. That's all I need to hear. Brother Mitch, that's all I need to hear in the midst of my problems, brother, is when God shows up on the scene. He don't even have to tell me what he's going to do. He don't even have to tell me how I'm getting out of it. All he's got to do is remind me of something. Hey, I am God. And you know what? That's all I need to know. And can I tell you, that's all you need to know. But you know what? Just in case that wasn't enough, he said, I am God. But you know what he said in verse number 3? He said, I was also God of thy father. I was also God of your father. And you know what? Look at his life and see how I blessed him. Look at his life and see how I got him through all those things. Can I tell you that I have not changed, he says. I am still God. I am still God. Let me tell you something. You can leave binding fear behind when you realize he is God. Hey, look what else. Church, you want to have a grand reunion? You want to have a grand reunion? Leave all binding fear behind. And then secondly, look for a bright future. Look
for a bright future. Let me tell you something right here. Verse number 2, Jacob, Israel here has got to come to a decision. Am I going to do what God wants me to do, or am I going to stay where I'm at? And he goes part way. And there's a lot of folks today, they've been saved, but you know what? They're still bound up in things in this life. And God says, you know what? I've got a plan for you. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. And you know what he says? He says, here's what you've got to do. And they'll take it and they'll go to a point, and then they'll stop and they'll say, I don't know. I don't know. Hold on. Maybe, I don't know. I got to think this thing through. But you know what? Folks, let me tell you something. It may look ugly right now in your life, but you know what? Stop looking at the ugliness around you and begin to look for a bright future. Begin to look for a bright... Do you know you've got a better future if you're saved? Do you realize this world and all of its trouble and all of its problems and all this mess isn't going to be here forever? Do you realize that it's not going to continue? You're not... One day it's going to become so bad that God is going to rain judgment upon this world. But do you know, church, we're going to be gone before that ever happens? And you know what? You may say, well, I'm sick in my body. Do you realize God's going to give you a new one? You may say, preacher, I'm broke. I can't even do a thing. Do you realize God has promised to supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Do you realize it? Folks, let me tell you something. You have a bright future. Here's what you can look for. We need to look for a bright future. Because, see, if we look for a bright future, we can see the promise of God. In verse number 3, Jacob is afraid. God says, fear not to go down into Egypt. He said, for I will there make of thee a great nation. Folks, can I tell you something? You and I have the promise of God that God, if we honor and obey Him, will use us in great ways. God will come through for us every time. There has not one good word, the Bible says, of all His promises that have ever failed. But can I tell you something? In order for God to make of Jacob a great nation, He was going to have to go through Israel. Or He was going to have to go through Egypt. That was the only way. He was going to have to go through where the world was. He was going to have to deal with the troubles and problems of this life. You know what? It's easy for an individual, and I don't know who this is, would ever have this happen, but they could just skate right on through life without any problems, and they could tell you, boy, that God is so good to me. Praise God. I've not ever had any problems. I've never had any heartaches or turmoils. I don't know who that individual is, but you know what? If I was on the outside of that testimony and looking inside, I'd be saying, your God isn't worth a hill of beans because I've went through everything. I've already had to deal with this and deal with that and go through this and go through that. And really, I don't want to hear much about that testimony. But you know what? When I can get beside of somebody that can still stand up and say, you know what? God has been so good to me. I've lived almost 86 years old. And I've been teaching classes for over 50 years. And I've been called to preach. But I've went through hard times because I lost my wife years ago. I've been through times of poverty. I've had to go through wars. I've had to do all those things, but I still want to stand up and tell you that God has been so good to me. Let me tell you something. I want to hear that testimony. That's the one that I want to listen to. And I'll turn an ear to that individual right there. Let me tell you something. God was going to make a great man out of Jacob. And not only a great man, but a great nation. But he was going to have to go through the trials in order for that to happen. But a lot of Christians today never become great in the eyes of God. And you listen to me and listen to me good with this. A lot of Christians today never become great in the eyes of God because they're never willing to go through anything to do it. They're never willing to sacrifice. They're never willing to sacrifice anything for God. They want everything a bed of roses. They want everything the way they want it. They want everything done this and do that and all these things. And everybody to wait on them hand and foot. But you know what? God said, Brother Jeff told us this verse in Sunday school today. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can I ask you today, sinner, what are you willing to sacrifice for what Jesus has sacrificed for you? Those of you that are saved, what are you willing to sacrifice in service for God, knowing that Jesus took you out of miry clay? What are you willing to do for Christ, knowing with all that He's done for you? Hey, Folks, let me tell you something. Jacob had a great future because he had the promise of God. Jacob had a bright future because not only had the promise of God, he had the presence of God. He says in verse number 4, God's very clear. He said, I will go down with thee into Egypt. Can I just encourage you just a moment that when the day comes that this old body here is going to fail, it's coming one day. I'm still hanging on for the rapture myself. You say, preacher, do you believe you're going to be raptured in this lifetime? I do. You say, you're a nut. Well, Paul believed it. Call him a nut. He said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. He said, we, including himself. He thought 2,000 years ago he was going to be raptured. Then why do you think I'm crazy if I think it now? Come on now. Y'all can go in the coffin if you want to, but I'm hanging on for the rapture. Bless God, I'm going that way. Now, if I'm laying here come my time, you know what? You can go by and say, well, he thought he was going that way. And you say, well, you know what? I didn't go that way, but I'm coming back that way, though. Glory to God. Somebody ought to shout on that. Bunch of dead Baptists, what's wrong with you? But you know what? He said, I'll go with you. Whatever you face in life, the heartaches, the pains, the sufferings, whatever you face in life, all the things that Egypt is going to hit you with, he said, I'm going to go with you. And when it comes time for you to leave this life and take your flight to worlds unknown, he said, I will be there with you then. Aren't you glad? That's why he said, I will never leave you, never forsake you, but I will go all the way with you, even to the grave. He will go with you there. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's a bright future. That's a bright future. And then he's looking for a bright future. Not only because of the promise of God and the presence of God, but because of the provision of God. Now look what he said. He said, and I will surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. One of the things that Jacob did not want to happen was that if Jacob died in Egypt, Jacob did not want his body to remain in Egypt. And one of the things that was holding him back from going down to Egypt was because he didn't want to be left there when he died. And so God is reassuring Jacob that even though I've called you to go to Egypt, I want you to know when your time is done and you're dead, he said, I will make arrangements to get you out of Egypt. And he said, and then, he said, it will be your own son. Here's what he says when he says he'll take his hand over his eyes. He said, it'll be your own son that will take his hand and close your eyes when you die. That's what that means. And it's given Jacob comfort. Can I tell you, God may call you into this world, but can I tell you, he's already made arrangements to get you out of it. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting this morning, I'll tell you that. Man, God, he might have brought you into Egypt because you know what? We're born in this world. We didn't choose to be born in this mess, but we're here anyway. We might as well make the best of it. But aren't you glad you're not going to stay here forever? Aren't you glad that one day the great trump of God is going to sound and the dead in Christ will rise again? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. God has made arrangements for you to leave. Aren't you glad this morning you ain't going to be here forever? Folks, that's a bright future. But now Paul said, if you have hope in this life only, then you're men most miserable. If all you're living for is this life, if all you're living for is self, if all you're living for is me, 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 can I tell you something? You're living a miserable life. You're living a miserable life. But oh, let me tell you something. If you're laying up for yourself treasures in heaven, let me tell you something. It's the greatest life you'll ever live. It'll be the most rewarding and enriched life you'll ever know. Hallelujah. There's a bright future, church. Let me tell you this little story right here. There was a 5-year-old named Johnny. He was in the kitchen as his mother made supper. And she asked him to go into the pantry and get her a can of tomato soup. But he didn't want to go in it alone. He said, Mommy, it's dark in there. I'm scared. And she asked him again, Johnny, will you go down the pantry and get me a can of tomato soup? And he persisted, Mommy, I don't want to go. It's dark down there. It's scary. I don't want to go. Finally, Mommy looked at him and said, Johnny, it's okay. Jesus will be in there with you. So Johnny kind of thought about that for a second. Walked hesitantly to the door of the pantry and slowly opened it up. Peeked inside the pantry. Saw it was dark. Closed, started to leave. Then all at once he came up with an idea. He goes back and he opens the door of the pantry good and wide. He kind of leans in a little bit and he says, Jesus, if you're in there, would you hand me that can of tomato soup? Hey, he'll be there for you. Every time, Christ will be there for you, no matter what. Folks, you have a bright future. And lastly and finally, hey guys, we're going to leave a binding fear behind. And we're going to look for a bright future. And then we're going to long for a blessed family. We're going to long for a blessed family. How many of you have loved ones on the other side you just wait to see? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm waiting to see Grandpa. You know Grandpa's on the other side. I've got a picture of him. I got a picture of him in my bedroom. I can sit down and I can look and I can lay on my pillow on my bed and I can look straight across the room and I got it hanging on the wall right where I can look at it. And there's Grandpa. As big as he ever got in this life was 5'4". He was always a little tiny guy. He probably didn't weigh much more than 110 or 20 pounds all the days that he was living. And I remember when we moved out of Johnson City, Tennessee, and we moved over to Irwin, Tennessee, which is where he was born and raised, where my mom was born and raised, and we moved over there, I remember Grandpa, his name was Charles, and I remember Grandpa was serving in the West Park Street Free Will Baptist Church. He was in his early 80s then, and he was serving as the church custodian, and he was keeping the yard mowed and everything, and he was in his early 80s. And you know what? I remember him sitting, if I'm looking this way, he sat right here where Andy's sitting at. He always sat on the end of that front row right there. And any time you went to the altar and prayed, you could get up and turn around and look, and there was Grandpa sitting on that front row of that pew. And you know what? That means so much to me. And you know what? I'll tell you what, I can't wait till the day when I get to see Grandpa one more time. And you know what? I don't know if he's going to be 5'4" anymore or not. I have no idea what he's going to look like. But I'll tell you right now, he's going to be vital. Glory to God. He's going to have strength. He got down. He lived to be almost 93. He lacked about another month or so to be 93 years old. And he lived that long. And God blessed him. And you know what? I tell you, I'm just waiting for the day to see him. I'm waiting for the day to see him. And I know you're waiting for the day that you've got family members you want to see. Folks, and I tell you something, they may have, like Grandpa. Grandpa died when his gallbladder burst on him and his lungs filled up with the bile and it drowned him. And that's how he died. And my sister, he was living with my aunt, my mom's sister. And she went into the bedroom later and found him laying there. He'd been asleep. And when that happened, what a way to go. Go in your sleep. Praise God. And he laid there in his sleep and his gallbladder had burst because it had been infected for a long time anyway. And they couldn't do surgery. He was too old. They couldn't do surgery to remove it. And it burst and he filled up with fluid and he died. And you know what? When I see him again, he's not going to have that failing gallbladder anymore. He's not going to have that bad health anymore. He's not going to be 93 years old, Brother Donald, and barely able to get around. You know what? He's going to be man full of strength and vigor and power. Boy, I'll be glad to see him one day. He may not be the first one I see when I get there, but I've got all eternity to look him up. Glory to God. I want to find him. I want to find him there. And his little wife, Phyllis, you know, my grandmother, his wife, My grandmother, my biological grandmother, was killed. She was murdered. She was shot in the mouth by a man. And she was murdered when I was a month old. I never met her. Her name was Marie. I never met her, never knew her. I mean, you know what? But there was a little old lady that Grandpa married named Phyllis. And Phyllis was a sweetheart of a gal. Phyllis loved the Lord. Anytime you saw Grandpa at church, there was Phyllis at church. Anytime you went to church at West Park Street, there was Phyllis over on the other side sitting in the seat. There was Phyllis. Every time Grandpa drove the car down to pick us up, 85 years old, and driving down to the house and picking me up and making sure that I'd go to church. Every time there was Phyllis in that car with him. Every time, you know what? She died before Grandpa did. One day I'm going to meet Phyllis again. Boy, I can't wait till the day that I see her again. Glory to God, she's going to be blessed too. She's going to be strong and vital. Boy, she's going to have all the energy of the world because she's going to be like Jesus. And I'm glad. Folks, let me tell you something. You're looking one day, just keep longing for that blessed family. Keep longing to see that one again. But can I tell you, on the authority of God's Word, the only way you'll ever see them again is if you go by the way of the cross. The only way you'll ever see them again is if you go by the way of the blood of Jesus. You'll not see them any other way. If they went by the way of the cross, the only way you'll ever see them again is by the way of the cross. I got some more, but I'm not going to finish with this right here. But you know, I'm going to say this right here.
The Bible says here at the very end. Let me tell you this a little bit about this family right here. At the very end, in verses 33 and 34, Joseph told Jacob, he said, now when you go talk to Pharaoh, and I'm going to shorten this in about 2 minutes, all right? He said, when you go talk to Pharaoh, he said, I know y'all are shepherds, and I know you take care of cattle, I know you take care of sheep, I know you take care of all these things. He said, but I don't want you to tell Pharaoh that y'all are shepherds. He said, because in Egypt, to be a shepherd is to be an abomination. In essence, you're some second-class person. You're not even worthy to be up to the level of the rest of the Egyptians if you come in as a shepherd. And he says, you know what? When they ask you what you do, don't even mention being a shepherd. Just tell them that your job has always been to take care of cattle. Can I tell you right now, there's been things in my life that I've done that's probably been some pretty abominable things. There's been messes in my life, and even as a child of God, I've made mistakes. And even as a child of God, I've done wrong in the sight of God. And you know what? I stand before God open this morning, naked and ashamed. He knows it all. He sees it all. And you know what? I'll tell you, there's going to come a day when I'm going to see God that I'll not have not one more thing abominable in my life. One day you'll see God. Those of you that are born again by the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of the Lamb, you'll see God one day, and there'll not be one sinful thing left in your life. Aren't you glad this morning that all sin shall be done away with? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But a lot of folks are looking for streets of gold and gates of pearl. Phooey on that. I'm glad God decorated it like that, but I'm looking for a holy God, and I'm looking to be just like Him. Does not yet appear what I shall be, but I know one thing I will be. I'm going to be just like Him, holy, righteous, just, glory to God, sinless, hallelujah. I'll never make another mistake again. Glory to God. And it won't matter what I used to be. Brother Parnell, it won't matter, brother, what it used to be, because I'll have a new name up there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hey, isn't that a blessed hope this morning? Isn't that a blessed hope? Let me ask you today, you that are here, do you know Jesus Christ that are Savior? Do you know God this morning? Have you been born again? Can I tell you right now, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've got a bright future. Now, I know things may look bad. Maybe you're dealing with depression and discouragement and despair. Maybe you're dealing with all kinds of an emotional roller coaster and ins and outs and all these things. But can I encourage you for just a moment today? You have a bright future. If you've got Jesus on your side, you have a bright future. Yes, things may be bad right now. I don't know your life, but you may be right in the midst of the pain right now. But can I tell you, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. It will get better if you trust God. But can I tell you today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, oh, God has a great life for you. He has great blessings for you. But what are you hanging on to? Why won't you turn it away? Why won't you let go of it? Because in this life, whatever you're hanging on to, it's simply going to fade away. It's going to perish one day. This whole earth is going to burn up one day. The Bible says it's going to melt away with fervent heat. It's going to go by the wayside. Everything you're holding on to will be gone one day. But there'll be one thing that will live forever somewhere, and that'll be your soul. It will live forever somewhere. Do you want to live with Jesus in a place called heaven? Where there's no more pain, no more suffering, no more sorrow, where there'll never be another tear ever dim your eye. And you can live there without any sin. You can live there and not ever have to fight the devil. And you can live there with all the glories of God's blessings. Or do you want to end up at a place called hell? A place that wasn't even prepared for you. A place God never intended for you to be. But you know what? You're hanging on to the world. You're hanging on to this stuff in this life. And you know what? You'll hang on to it to the end of your day. And you'll realize when God calls for you, you're going to have to let it go. Would you rather let it go now, make heaven your home? Or would you hang on to the end, let go at the end, make hell your home? That's easy. That's the only way I know how to tell you guys. You can hang on to it. You can let it go right now today and say, God, I accept your son, Jesus. And you can have it all. Or you can hang on to what little you've got in this life. And when God calls you out of this world, you'll lose every bit of it anyway. Wouldn't you rather get it all than lose it all? Well, that's the greatest swap I've ever made. And I thank God for that. Would you stand this morning?